From selling cars out of a garage to building viral personal brands, Nadia Adan and Michael Corcoran reveal how testing, learning and doubling down on what works can unlock explosive growth. This mentor moment is packed with actionable insights on content strategy, brand building and standing out in an overcrowded space.
Why did you do the social? Was it like planned strategy? So when I look at your social, I said this to you yesterday, when I look at your social, it's so clever, it's so topical, it's on the money. Was this like... was the brand built on top of social, or was this like something you thought about after?
Yeah, I think it was just something that happened by accident, to be honest with you, because when I started the business, I quit my job in finance in January 2020, and I opened up the garage in March. So when the pandemic just happened, I was like, how am I going to sell cars to people that can't come out to meet me, to see me? So that's when I really went on Instagram initially and just started doing videos. And then I put a bit of money behind it into kind of marketing, high production videos, and then TV kind of noticed. And then I started the TikTok account, and I just started doing anything really just to get views. And it was funny because sometimes the stuff I was putting the most money into and the most time into would do shit. And I'd be like, what's going on? And then the crappiest little 10-second video. Any guesses? Some of yous might know. Some of yous probably don't want to admit, you know.
I was going to say, come on, everyone knows the any guesses.
Yeah, you guys are screwed, because if you don't have boobs, you just, so I might as well just go now. It just went crazy.
Where did that come from? Because that was really
that was just like, I got a cool V8 in one day. It was an R8. It was probably one of the most expensive cars I had. I had all my money tied up in it. I was really stressed having it, because you have to build some sort of brand to sell those types of cars. You have to have a good reputation. You have to be around a while. And people, you know, took the piss out of me at the beginning. I don't blame them. They're like, who's this one, you know, trying to sell cars in Wicklow? And it was a little bit of fake till you make it. And I think everyone probably understands what's that like. You just have to keep going. So it was just a quick video, low cut top. I'm shocked you're all here listening to me, to be honest with you, because it's not like I invented fire or anything. This is, you know, and it's men and cars. Like, that is it. That's my audience, you know. So of course I played into that. Which, you know, we've gone a little bit one way now. So I think there was a bit of shock to that, a bit of controversy. But that also built the brand then as well behind it, because I just kept building the business. So, yeah, it was a quick video, 10-second video. Any guesses? Can you guess the sound? It was like a man's favourite sound, you know, with a woman going, any guesses? So it just went completely viral. And, yeah, everyone just went mental.
I think you're undervaluing yourself a little, because there's two things you spot with what you do and what a lot of people, creators in particular, who do really well in the space of social and content. It's all about testing and learning until you find a repeatable format. And you find a repeatable format that nobody else has, that becomes your secret sauce. And you do it time after time after time again. And you can scale to by no means. And I think the second thing is, you remind me a bit of the, again, I'm going to mention his name within the first 20 words of me, the Michael O'Leary School of Marketing. You're not afraid to do something disruptive and different and go against the crowd. Because when it comes to marketing, when it comes to anything you do to try and stand out, the easiest step to always take is do the opposite of what everybody's saying and doing, because that's what's going to generate attention. So those two things alone, you're probably undervaluing what you did. You mightn't have realized you were doing it intentionally, but you're doing it naturally. And they're two really important things in such a cluttered space like social media and content. To actually, it's half the battle of standing out. People will try and over-construct, overthink it and overdo it. But it's all about testing and learning, because the audience will tell you what they love and what they don't love. And when they do it and you find it, you do it again and again and again and again, and you grow. Again, you see guys out there in Ireland, the younger kids who are like Protein Boy. Again, protein bar. He literally just said that word time and time again. People absolutely, now he's making rap songs and he's doing content partnerships and he's absolutely making a living out of it. Because again, he found a repeatable format that was unintentional. He knew he was onto something and he scaled it.
At what point does it get stale?
Who knows? Again, it depends. There's a life cycle to it. And then it's all about pivoting and seeing how he can grow. It's like, I jokingly used to talk about the life cycle of an influencer in Ireland. You know, you do something on the internet, you grab attention, you get there, you build a following. When you build a following, you literally pimp every brand partnership that you can to monetize as quickly as you can. When you've kind of hit saturation point and every brand has used you too much, you then set up a podcast. and then you talk about some sort of mental breakdown you had off the back of all of this. And then once you do that, you write a book. And then when you write a book, you might get an RTE player series. And then after that, you might get an RTE documentary. And then you rinse and repeat and figure out what the path is next. You constantly evolve and figure it out. And once you hit a point of saturation, you'll kind of know. The money will dry up. The engagement, the views will drop. So you have to pivot. People who understand the importance of brand building and IP will know that the IP is the important part. How you productize that in multiple ways is where you can constantly win.
How do brands do it? Because we've got founders in the room tonight. Many of them are building founder-led companies now. How do they do it themselves, for themselves and the company?
Like, the product is half the work. If the product is good enough, the marketing and how you talk about it is easier. And then the beauty of what's going on in the world of brand and content is we're enjoying following the story, the trials, the tribulations, the success, the failures, the trauma, the sweat and the tears. That's content. That's people can buy into and see the realities of running a business and a startup. That's real. That's what people look for in content. They don't want overproduced bollocks. And like, again, the likes of a Stephen Bartlett gets it right to an extent, but he overdoes it sometimes. But like, brand IP is important because that's what people want. People want to follow the story, the warts and all. And then if the product's good at the same time, it's just an easy sell. Mm.